Welcome to the coaching question. It's a conversation with two experienced executive coaches. And today our coaching question is about how we should end our coaching engagements. And this came up in conversation between the two of us, Sarah, because you had attended something, I think, at Ashridge.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So they do these CPD sessions, which are brilliant. Anyone can attend. You don't have to be an Ashridge coach. So a little plug for Ashridge there. And they are often online. And this was a session. I can't remember the lady who ran it, but I will find her name and put it in the show notes. And she was essentially building on some research that she had done. And we had a really good session reflecting on our own experience of endings in our own lives. And then also thinking about our own experience of endings in coaching. And it was just a really rich and fruitful discussion. And I felt that it was something that would be good for you and I to kind of talk through. And then also for people who are listening to our podcast, hopefully they'll get some value from it too.
Yeah, and that then caused me to share with you that I had co-authored an article on endings for coaching at work a few years ago, because we had had a CPPD session through Apex, and we realized that endings was not something that was really covered in coaching development. So it was really good that Ashridge was doing something on it. And so we wrote an article, four of us together, to basically highlight this, that endings aren't really covered in training. It's certainly not down as any sort of competency. And how we tend to relate to endings and thoughts about how maybe what you might think about is best practice, but really we wanted somebody to pick it up and then go and do a PhD on it or something else and pick up the research. So yeah, I thought it was a really fruitful thing to talk about. So from that that session, what was your main reflection?
Well, there are quite a few things. I guess the thing that's just coming up for me, just as you were talking then, in terms of it's not necessarily seen as a competency. And I do find that quite surprising when you think that coaching is inherently relational. And I don't know what the statistics are, but I know that Eric DeHaan's done a lot of research around this and other people too, that, you know, that the coaching relationship is the vehicle for change. And when you yes. think we are creating a relationship, we spend a lot of time, and we spend a lot of time in coach training, rightly so, attending to the contracting, you know, confidentiality, yep. ethics, note-taking, GDPR, you know, what is the work we're here to do? How are we going to do this work together? All of that brilliant stuff. But what about the end of that relationship? When that relationship is brought to a close, what is the attention that we give to that? And it feels imbalanced. When I think about what you've just shared there, it feels as if there's 80%, 90% attention on that beginning bit. But what about the end? What about really paying attention to how we are bringing this relationship to a close?
Hugely. And for anybody listening, that was Sarah's dog getting in on the act. What was really interesting was Sue Gammon, who was one of the co-authors of this article. She originally, she was a psychotherapist before she was a coach. And she was able to highlight how much time is spent in psychotherapy and counselling about endings. It's really, really an essential part of their training because it's inherently relational. So they spend time thinking about and processing what is their relationship to endings, what patterns and unconscious patterns that they have around endings, and what may the client have. And they have a really strong contract around ending with their client. And they're very clear about what will and won't happen, what's going to happen afterwards. And there was differences, quite a big difference, actually, between the four of us and how we view the relationship after the ending of the coaching engagement. So that was really interesting in and of itself. I think you said there was one big thing that came out of that session for you.
Yes, so the really big thing, which I think is connected to what we're talking about, is this idea, which sounds really simple, but I think when you unpick it a little bit, becomes less simple, which is that we can be either active or we can be passive when it comes to endings. So we can let endings just happen without really paying much attention to them or thinking about what it is that we need or what it brings up for us or tuning into our body and our feelings and our emotions. Or it can be something we really prepare for. We really take time to think through, how are we going to manage this? How are we going to structure this? What is it we need to pay attention to? As the coach, what is it that I need to pay attention to? What's my history around endings? And as my client, what is your experience? What is your history around endings? And what might we need to pay attention in order to make sure that you're resourced so that we end well? And you've got an amazing Stoic quote I think you were sharing with me before the podcast. I don't know if you want to share that now.
Yeah, I the quote's actually from Phil Van Truren. It's actually about death, but I think you can change it because it says, when the only thing left to do is die, then die well. But I think we can change that. When the only thing left to do is end, then end well. I think, you know, I'll come out with one of our tips, but I think what's changed in my practice since writing that article is I start talking about endings much earlier.
Yeah.
It's not left to be an afterthought. I probably start talking about endings halfway through an engagement.
Yeah.
And also involve the client in that and actually ask, how would you like us to end?
And I'm laughing as you say that only because, and I know we touched on this earlier, but often I find that clients think that's a bit odd. They're like, what do you mean? Yes. What do you mean? How would I like to end? I haven't really, you know, this is a very strange question. Like, why are you asking me this?
And I think that probably is a part of our culture in the UK and probably for a lot of the West. We don't really, for example, we don't like to think about death. Death is a taboo subject. Whereas in the East, you might really be happy talking about death and endings. So I do think it's something culturally that we avoid endings. So I think it's even more important for us to bring it up. And I've even translated that into, and this really surprises people, we said, how would you like us to be ending our session together today? Now it really gets people thinking, and then some people will find it a strange question, and some people will immediately go, oh, it would be good if this was here.
Yeah.
You know, or if this was happening. So I've started playing with it in my practice to make endings a really active part of that process. Because like you say, we spend loads of time focusing on the beginnings, and then we talk about recontracting as we go through. But I think at least from halfway through, we need to start be thinking, the very minimum, two-thirds way through, we need to be start thinking about, you know, we are going to be ending soon.
And it's quite paradoxical, isn't it? Because, and I think this is one of the things that you highlight in the article as well, because, you know, we create a deep relationship.
Mm.
And in a way, it's imbalanced. Again, this is something that was brought up in the article, because, you know, we are really listening. And it's the client who's really doing the talking and really doing the sharing. So it's not a quote unquote normal relationship, as in out there in the normal world kind of relationship mm-hmm, you might have, mm-hmm. like, give and take. But notwithstanding, you know, there is depth, there is vulnerability, there is emotion. And in most other relationships where there's all of those qualities, you don't really think about it ending because it's like an ongoing part of your life. It's a dynamic, you know, resourceful, fulfilling relationship. And so there's something, that's what I mean, it's quite paradoxical, because you, on the one hand, you've got this depth, this vulnerability, yet on the other, we're saying, yes, and this is ending in 3 sessions or 6 months or whatever the time frame is, and let's pay attention to that, which we don't do in any other aspect of our lives, right?
No, until someone dies, you know, there is something. There's a very definite ending, and well, I mean, I'm in my late 50s. You know, it's one of the things. You know, I remember being in my 30s, and like nearly every weekend was another wedding. You know, it was like you go through this period, and as you get a bit older, it's like funerals started to take over from sadly not too many yet, but. It, again, it's something culturally. So I think it is quite easy to be quite transactional about it, which is, you know, I've always thought right from the start of my coaching career, I wanted people to have the tools that they could continue their developmental journey after the coaching had ended. But that's not relational, and it is a relational relationship. Stupid thing to say, I know, it's very tautologist, but anyway, you get my meaning. But that's another thing that came up in our conversation, was thinking about, this was in, we were in a supervision session together yesterday, I realized that if we think about William Bridges' idea about transitions, there's an end point, there's a start point to the transition, sorry, there's an ending to the old world. There's the no man's land, or that period where things are uncertain and you can be really creative in that space. And then there's a beginning. But realizing that this is an ending for us.
Yeah.
But the client might still be in no man's land.
Yeah.
And suddenly they're being left alone in no man's land.
And what might that bring up for them?
And what might that bring up for them, and what support structures might they need around them. The organization isn't going to continue the coaching. There might still be stuff that's unresolved that they still need to work on, etc. What's their plan for that? And I just think that's a really interesting, that frame suddenly came to me. It might be an ending for us. It's not an ending for them.
No, and I really love that, because I think what it also does is it helps us to resource, to work with our client, to help them work through what do they now need as they start to let go of the coaching. You know, what are the support structures, as you say, what might resource them, what might enable them to continue on their journey. And as I picked up on there, you know, and what does it bring up for them, this idea that, you know, we're ending, but they're continuing, assuming they're not changing roles or organizations, you know, what does that bring up for them? And I think there's a lot of coaches who might not necessarily A, think of asking that question, or B, spot the opportunity. And this is kind of what came up in the coaching yesterday, in the supervision yesterday, the opportunity to kind of hold up that mirror and say, hey, hang on a second, I'm wondering what our ending might be bringing up for you, given the context of the work that we've been doing together. Because that can be a really useful, valuable piece of insight, potentially, for a client.
Yeah, I think so. But the other thing I realised, so just before this call, I caught up with an old client. He's a CIO of a PLC, and he has recently... they came to an agreement. They came to a compromise agreement about his. So he's essentially, he's resigned. The thing is, he was very keen to show me. He said, "I've still got my red book," because when we were working together, he wrote things down in his red book. And the funny thing is, like, we stopped working together quite a long time ago. I'm sort of still there in his mind. So the funny thing, because he goes and looks in his red book, and he thinks about, you know, well, what would a conversation with Gregor be like right now, even though we're not talking? And that sounds quite egotistical now that I'm hearing myself saying it, but I think it is true that for some clients, we still have, in their minds, we're still present.
Absolutely. And I mean, every now and then I get the most incredible email from a client. I had one, it's just you saying that reminded me, it's been within the last month or so, the most incredible email that literally brings tears to my eyes even as I think about it, where they've just said, you know, this is 2 years on, just want to let you know where I'm at now, this is what's going on for me, thank you, you know, the work we did together. And I think they use the word transformational, has absolutely been transformational. And it's just incredible when you receive something like that, to know that the work that you've done has had an impact together, in the work you've done together, it's not, you know, the work I've done. But also, as you say, that you're still part of them and part of their life. You're still very real and true for them. And I've often had clients, even clients who I'm still working with, you know, will say things like, this happened. And I wondered, I thought to myself, what would Sarah say? Or what question would Sarah ask? Or, you know, and I think it's incredible. And that just is testament to the depth of the relationship that we build. which is again reinforces why it's so important to think about how we bring that relationship to a close.
And actually, it's not us, it's a part of themselves that they've created. You know, in their psyche to represent that part. But it is really funny how clients tend to think about it. So I don't think this is a subject to do to death. I think it's just something to really highlight to coaches, and even for people who commission coaching to maybe ask their coaches, you know, how do you handle endings?
Yeah. And I guess two other things that popped up for me. So one is, we were talking there about clients being in contact with us after the coaching is ended. And I know that was something that was also brought up in the article. And there was this question around, you know, can you then become friends with your clients? I think coaches will have a different view on that. My own personal view would be no, because of everything that was shared in that article and along the lines of what we've been talking about, in that the relationship is contracted, it's time bound, it's to serve a particular purpose, and the dynamics of the relationship are not a friendship. It's a different kind of professional relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that as soon as I finish coaching engagement, I go to that person, I never want to see or hear you from you again. But this contracted relationship has come to a close. That's the point about it being an ending for us, they're continuing. However, and very much, I think you said this, I do the same, possibly learned from you. 6 months later, I'll always check in. Hey, how are you doing? I'd love to hear what's been happening for you. I'm really genuinely interested in how they are and what's shifted for them and where they're at right now. Not in a, you know, let's do some more work together, although that may happen, but it's more of a just, I care, I want to check in with you, I'd love to hear how things are, which is a way of coming back to that relational aspect, letting that person know they matter. They mattered to us when we worked together, and they still matter.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, I haven't been thinking about it from that relational perspective. I do always contract that I'll get back in contact in 6 months, we'll have a virtual coffee or whatever. I just want to hear, you know, I am interested in their progress and what may have happened for them, because quite often it is a little bit further on that big changes happen, and we can again recontract about maybe touching base in the future. I think I've got one relationship, an ex-coachee, that has turned into a friendship, but that's once he left his business and become a coach.
Right.
So we're never going to work together. We've now become friends because the contract has shifted. We've shifted from, I wouldn't have a professional relationship with him now.
Yeah.
You know, but there's space now with him now being a coach for us to be friends rather than a professional relationship. I think the other thing that comes out in the article was I share, we're both associates with the Oxford Group, and they have this process that they like to sell on measurable results. So they always have this process of reviewing measurable results at the end with the client. And I used to think of that as a real pain, because it was getting in the way of coaching time. My goodness, the clients find it really beneficial. They really love to review what they've done, what they've achieved, what the impact has been. And now I do that at the start of the, you know, I set it up beforehand, and we do it at the beginning of the last session. And it doesn't take the whole session. You know, it may take 15, 20 minutes, but it's really, really valuable for them. So, again, my advice to others would be, don't view it as, oh, this is another chore, it's another thing I've got to work on. It's that this is a massive opportunity for you and your clients and your coaching.
Yeah, and I think that it comes back to signposting. I mean, you said this, you know, you'll start talking about endings a half, you know, two-thirds of the way through a coaching program. For me, that's the signposting that, you know, this we've contracted for 6 sessions or 8 sessions or whatever. We're now on session, whatever it is. But it was also, I was thinking a little bit about the system, because the brilliant thing about the Oxford Group process is, as you say, it's structured. And the clients get a lot from it. Line managers are involved. And then there's, you know, a kind of conversation that happens independently of the coach as well. So it's a really robust process. But I think it's also thinking about, as you said, the work that we do in coaching impacts the team, clients, suppliers, you know, the ripple effect. If you think about the systemic kind of impact that it has, really thinking about the impact and kind of working with the client to unpack that and explore that, I think could be really powerful. However, what I would say is, one thing I know about myself is I do personally appreciate being able to wrap things up beautifully with a bow and be able to say, you wanted to achieve XYZ, you're now here in terms of those goals, let's have some feedback from your line manager, you know, and it's really beautifully structured and you can get that clarity and get that tangible, measurable results, to use their language. But not all clients like endings, right? I mean, I don't think...
Worth exploring their relationship with endings, which is going to be really valuable for them. Yeah, some clients really, really don't like endings, so it's a great experience for them to have a good experience of an ending as opposed to a negative experience of an ending. So I would say in that article, we had about 5 or 6 recommendations at the end of the article. Mm-hmm. But we always end on 3 tips. So what would our 3 tips be? What would your first one be?
Well, I guess building on what we were just talking about there with the systemic kind of thinking. I remember when I did a coaching constellations workshop with John Whittington, which are brilliant, by the way, if you haven't done it. And one of the things that either he asked or one of the other facilitators was, what's your relationship with endings? And I remember sitting on the train going home and thinking about all of my endings, you know, schools, universities, clubs, societies, et cetera, relationships. And I sat there and went, oh, I think there's a bit of work for me to do here. And so I guess that's my first tip, is as a coach, really allow yourself in your own reflective practice or in your next supervision session or with another coach, ask yourself, what is my relationship with endings and what therefore might be coming up for me out of my awareness when I come to, you know, to an ending with a client.
So I would build on that tip. It says, you get clear on what your relationship with endings and be clear on what your philosophy is.
Yeah.
Because there is no right or wrong currently. You know, there's no received wisdom here. You know, it's what is your personal practice around ending. So that would be the first thing. I think my tip would be surface endings early, you know, signpost them. So be proactive around endings. Don't let them happen to you.
Yeah.
So that would be my tip, to be active and proactive around endings and make them part of your practice and experiment with them.
Okay. And then my third one, if I can add another one, is my big takeaway from the brilliant Ashridge session was kind of picking up on both of the previous 2 points, which is that you can either be active or passive about endings. And so my big learning was I can be active, so I can choose how I attend to endings in coaching and in other aspects of life, right? Because we're not just talking coaching here. And so therefore, what does it mean to resource myself? What is it that I need when I'm thinking about an ending? And also inviting my client to pay attention to that too, because that may well be quite a new idea for them. This idea of, oh, what do I need as we bring this coaching to an end? So I think that can be a really powerful question.
Yeah, so resource yourself, but be clear what you may need, what may come up for you and what you might need to resource yourself, and then explore what they might need to resource their self to handle that ending. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Great. Well, as I always do, and as I knew I would, I've really enjoyed having this conversation. And I know we've been on, you know, been speaking for about 20 odd minutes now. We could probably carry on, but we won't, because we like to keep them short and sweet. So thank you very much for listening. I hope there's been some nugget in this podcast today that might help you if you are a coach, or if you're an organization, you know, commissioning coaching, to maybe think a little bit, as you said, Gregor, about when you're talking to new coaches, well, how do you pay attention to endings? What are some of the things that you might think are important to consider? So do let us know what you think. Please let us know if you'd got some topics you'd like us to cover in upcoming episodes. And please do rate us on your favourite podcasting platform, which is the one that we like to ask for, Gregor. I'm sure you always say one.
Oh, but the Apple Podcasts is probably the key one.
There you go. You're much more up on this tech stuff than I am. So, yes, please do share. Please do let us know what you think. And we look forward to speaking with you again next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.